Super glad that you're here this morning. My name's Greg, and I'm one of the pastors here. And this morning, I want to do something with you. We did this first service, and there were so few people that actually responded. So I'm just going to ask you to respond a little bit more. I was talking about movies, and how many of us just love movies? We love a good movie. So most of us love a good movie. And there's a couple big ones out right now. Avengers Endgame. Any fans of that one? Just shout it out, all right? So we have a whole bunch more Avengers Endgame fans than we did first service, or were willing to say so. And how about John Wick 3? Anybody go see John Wick 3 yet? I heard both of those are amazing. And Avengers Endgame, it better be amazing, because I heard it's like 3 hours long. And if it's that long and it's not amazing, that's a snooze fest, right? So I haven't seen either of those movies, but I want to let something out this morning. I'm going to let you in on a secret, and don't judge me on this, especially you guys that think you're tough, because I'm a huge Disney animated movie guy. I love them. I absolutely love them. And I don't know if I'm going to see either of those two movies I just mentioned, but I do know if a Disney movie comes out, Kathy and I are there almost every single time. We're surrounded by kids and moms with their children, and it's us two sitting in there watching these things because we love them. And yes, I'll just answer the question right now. We saw Mary Poppins. We went to see Mary Poppins twice in the theater. I paid twice to see it. And it was so good, so good. And I got it down, like jiggity jog. Step along, children. I've got the whole thing down. I loved it. But my favorite Disney movie of all times is The Lion King. It's incredible. Any Lion King fans, like, that movie is so good. I actually used it for my baptism stuff way back when. I pulled it in. There's a scene. It's probably not even biblically accurate, but I used it. It was so good. And so this movie, Kathy and I, we went to see it, and it came out on June 24, 1994. Like, yeah, I know the date, and useless fact, you can let that go. And we actually had a child on June 24. No, we did not plan a C-section on that day. We didn't. But anyway, forget that too. But we had this time in the theater, and in the movie, I'm like, this is so amazing. It's so good. And when David got old enough, a couple years later, he didn't get to see it in the movie theater because it was an old movie then, but it came out in one of those movie theaters that rolls out old movies. And I'm like, I'm taking him. And so David and I went, and he was maybe 2, 3, maybe 4 years old, but probably around 3 or so, and took him to the movie theater. It was just the two of us. And I had him on my lap, and we're watching Mufasa and Simba, and I'm having this thing going on inside of me, like I'm the dad, and this is my little cub here. And that scene in the movie, you know the scene, if you've seen the scene, that scene in the movie where you get like really emotional, and I may have cried, but I'm not going to tell you if I did or not, but I may have at this point, because David's on my lap. Mufasa, the king of the lions, he's gone, he is deceased, and then out of the clouds he begins to speak to his son, and I'm wondering, someday will I just breathe life into David? Will I speak life into David? And he's on my lap, and then I hear Mufasa say to his son, Simba, you are not what you were meant to become. You have forgotten me, and you have forgotten who you are. And I'm like, oh, this is so amazing. An amazing, amazing scene. So, just recently, I was sitting by myself and doing something that I haven't done as much as I should do lately. And so, a couple weeks ago, I was just thinking about my life. And I heard one time, I think the person is right. At least something to think about. The person said that to live a life that is not a reflective life is a life that isn't worth living. Meaning, we should take time to look into the mirror of who we are. Take time to breathe in and out and do a self-inventory of how am I doing? Am I giving my life to the stuff that matters? Is there anything that's out of sync inside of me? And so I took some time to just breathe, to remember. And as I was doing that, some things that I often become unaware of, I became aware of. Maybe you've been there before too. where you're silent enough to hear the clock tick. You're still enough that you can hear a light bulb sort of expand in the fixture. Or you hear the inhaling through the cold air return of the furnace so that it can exhale back into the house again. I was in that place where there's this overlap between my prayers and my thought life, and those often overlap and become one and the same. In conversation with God and listening and thinking and processing there by myself. And I remembered where this thing got started for me, this thing called ministry. I remembered like why I got into it in the first place, what the original dream was. And faces started coming to my mind, and it's been a long time. It was 1985 when I was working at a camp, and faces of children started coming to my mind, and the stories that came from those children. And they were blending together, and I could remember only a couple names of a few kids, but I remember the brokenness. And I remember thinking to myself that I want to step into that brokenness. I want to be used by God to actually help put together some of the brokenness that is inside of those children. And it was the beginning of thinking, dreaming for me about belonging to something more than just saying, I'm a Christian. Check that off the list. Or I belong to a church and check that off the list. I began to think about every community needs a vibrant church in it that's actually given itself. When I say church, I'm not talking about a location. I never talk about that when we're here. It's us. We are actually the church. It needs a group of people, a gathering of people that are giving themselves to a movement of God in their community that makes their community better. And I had a dream about that, not belonging to some church that packs out their services maybe two or three times a week, maybe has some week day event where they're gathering up people, and that's really big too, and not the sort of church that would just make a name for the church. I wanted to be a part of some place that was so given themselves. And in particular, when I started this dream, I was thinking about students that would so pour into students. So give sacrificially that they would be the healthiest, most sacrificial, most giving, most loving sort of people together that would invest in the lives of some broken kids or kids that seem to have it all put together, but none of us actually have it all put together, that we would so invest in the lives of students that those students would go back to their schools different. They would go back to their sporting events, different people. They would huddle up with guys, and they would be different. Huddle up with women, they would be different. And because they're different, the groups that they're in are different. Their friends would become different, which means the community that they live in, every single community is better for having a vibrant group of sacrificial, giving of ourselves people in it. It'll make the community stronger and better. It was my dream. I wanted to be a part of that. It's actually not my dream. I was just capturing God's heart for the world that Jesus rolled out with a handful of students a long, long time ago. And I was capturing His vision, His dream for the church and for the world. And that dream has only intensified in me over the years. I want to talk about that this morning. If you came here for the very first time, I think you picked an amazing Sunday to come. If you're trying to figure out what is at the core, who is this people that are called Fairhaven, this is the Sunday we're going to talk about it. And it's a different sort of Sunday. Because usually on Sunday mornings, what we're doing is we're somewhere in a sermon series where we're trying to build towards something and keep the Sundays connected. We teach in series here, not today. Today I want to hit the pause button. Today I just want to sort of sit with you and reflect collectively together to hear the clock tick and to hear God speak into us who we are and why we actually exist, why we are here. And I want to go to two pieces of scripture, maybe the two big ones that are in the Bible. We could argue that for sure because we call it the Great Commandment and we call it the Great Commission. And in both cases we see our Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ, He's speaking. And these are the words to the Great Commandment. Jesus was asked, "Teacher, Rabbi, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbors as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. So if you think about what Jesus is saying, every command that has ever been given, everything that has ever proceeded from God's heart to his people, please do this. It's all about love. Every single one of them has its foundation in one of these two. Love God, love others. If you get those two down and even don't know the rest of them, you are well down the road toward doing the right thing. You won't go wrong if you choose in your life to love God and love people. You've nailed it. That's what it's all about. And then Jesus said, especially when you think about people that give their last parting words, Jesus' parting words to his church was to say, this is the mission. This is what you're meant to be about. And he said it this way. He said, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. God is the King of all kings. Jesus came. They referred to him as the King of Jews. He is the King above all kings, the Lord above all lords. He is the one that holds all authority. And that authority is one in which he can give to others. And that authority that is given to others empowers us. We get a power out of it to go live the life that he's called us to live. And Jesus starts by saying, all authority has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Now, if we were to take that great commission, as we describe it, this great mission that Jesus gives to the church, and try to boil it down to one word, we would boil it down to the word go. Go do what? We go to the great commandment, and what God said, what Jesus said is the greatest commandment that was given to us, is to love. To love God and to love people. So we were to take the great commandment, the great commission, boil each down to one word, slam those two words together. What we have is go love. The charge for us is to go love. Go love. That is what we are called to do, to go love. And when we go love, if we just did those two, we are way down the road as a church, as a people, to actually chasing hard after the heart of God for this world, being the people that God has called us to be in this world. So I have a question. And my question is this. Why do we exist? What is the purpose for our existence? Why are we here today? And not just today, but why are we here as a gathering? Because it has to be more than just showing up here. It has to be about something that is beyond these walls. There are plenty of things to do on a Sunday morning. There are plenty of organizations to join up with that gather some on Sunday morning, some on other evenings, or perhaps mornings, afternoons. Why this one? Why do we exist? I really believe that a good mission statement, repeated often, that is simple to understand and straight to the point, will get you way down the road in understanding why you exist. And our mission statement is stated. We repeat it again and again and again. It's easily understood, and we get it. We understand it because it's simple to repeat. And our mission is what? Somebody tell me. Boom, 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 boom. Helping people find their way back to God. That's it. This is what we do. This is why we exist. This is the why of our church. Why are we here? Why do we exist? Why this gathering of people? To help people. That's why. do what? Find their way. Where? Back to the one that loves them, that designed them, that created them for a love relationship with himself, that designed them, that he would so fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit that their life would have meaning and purpose and make a huge difference in this world. Maybe to one person or 10 people or way beyond that, however so God wants to use that person. Our why we exist is to help people find their way back to God. So I was sharing with you that I was in that space, and I really did think about not actually sharing this on a Sunday morning, and I prayed about it, and I went, this is just us. So I'm just going to keep it real and share with you something that came to me while I was in that place of quiet before God listened to the clock tick and thinking and praying. And since 1985, this is the very first time in my life that I've not been in a developing deep relationship with somebody that didn't know God. I had no idea who Christ was, or at least knew there was a God but didn't have a relationship with Jesus. It's the first time in my ministry since 1985, over this last year and a half, 2 years or so. And I'm not okay with that. And because I've been running a little too fast and keeping a little too busy and not reflecting enough, that just kind of slipped by. And that needs to change. Because I'm not wired up to not be in relationship with people that are far away from Christ. It's at the core of who I am. It's a deep desire of mine. I thought back when I was a counselor at the camp, there were kids that would come out, and the ones that captured my heart, the ones that wanted to talk, were the ones that were asking about Jesus, and I don't know what this means, and who is he? And man, my heart started beating faster to be able to describe who he was, because Jesus had done so much for me. I thought about the relationships that I've had over the years when I was a coach, and I, for a decade plus of coaching young girls to play soccer, and my daughter was on the team, but of a lot of those children, they didn't know Jesus, and the parents that I got to know, some had relationship with Christ, some didn't. But I was able to develop relationships with coaches and with parents, with these ball players. And to pour into them, I became a chaplain up at a college for a softball team at Muskegon Community College. Same reason, because I got to get along students that were questioning and wondering, and it got my heart beating faster to describe and to share with them who Jesus was. And then one of my favorite stories of my entire life is a 16-year relationship with a really good friend of mine. His name is James, and he's been here before. He's actually been up on this platform before, and James pouring into his life and just him pouring back into my life too. And we had this friendship, and it wasn't, just let me be clear on this, really clear on this. My friendship with him had nothing to do with whether or not he would ever come to Christ. We hung out together. We enjoyed the outdoors together. We would fish together and hunt together and hike together and do some activities that were physical activities. We'd go out and do that kind of stuff together because we enjoyed that. And we talked and shared life with one another and rode motorcycles and wrenched on our vehicles together. It was a friendship. And if he ever came to Christ, that wasn't up to me. That's up to him and God moving on his heart. But for me, I'm going to be authentic with him. And the day he came to Christ, I'll tell you, I was pretty excited. And we actually baptized him at one of our baptism services. It happened in the time where I was a pastor here. And I baptized James. He came out of that water so excited that he tackled me. He baptized me too. We were under the water together. And it was a pretty exciting moment. But had he not come to Christ, it wouldn't change anything in terms of my love for him. Because what are we called to do? Just go love. Go love. And so it was a gift to be able to do that. When I think about the kind of church that we are called to be, it's wrapped up in that. Just go love and go serve and leave the rest up to God. And we'll just join God in whatever he's doing. And I want to describe to you something that when I think about what some churches are like, we're not. This is not us. And I want to be crystal clear about it. There are churches that have what I would call a bounded set. They have a box around, and that's a pretty weak box, but you get the picture. So they know who's in their church. And it's a person that knows their Bible or carries a big Bible. There's a person that would never allow their cell phone to ring in church or whatever that might be. And we know some people that are out because these people, they smoke, they drink, they don't wear the right clothes to church or whatever it might be. There's all these different rules about what makes you in or what makes you out. What makes you a part of us or what makes you not a part of us. And the list can go on and on. I just threw a couple out there. But the goal then is to go out here to reach them in order to bring them over here to behave like us. Once they behave like us, then they can be one of us. Once they look like us, act like us, and are like us, then they can be one of us, and that is not us. That's not us. It's not who we ever were. It's not what the church, I believe, is designed to be. We are this. We believe, actually, there is a center to the church, and he has a name. It's the most beautiful name of all. It's the name Jesus. He's the center of the church. And there are the same people in the world. And God so loved the entire world that he sent Jesus for this entire world. Our question is never about who's in or out. We actually consider everybody's in. Because God loves who? The world. Us too. Is there any qualifiers on that? No. No qualifiers. So who's in? We even say this once in a while here. You can belong here before you believe. True story. We believe that. We have this saying as a way of trying to help people feel connected here with us. We just want to be the sort of people, live in such a way that when people encounter us, they feel like they're home. Man, I hope you feel that way, and we want to be those people. And we'll say this, that you can come here if you want, and you can be our guest the first time if you want to be our guest. You don't have to be, though, because the second time you come, please don't consider yourself a guest anymore. You belong to us, and we belong to you. You're every bit a part of us. You can belong here before you believe, before you behave like us, before you think like us, before any of that stuff. You are in. All people are in. Our only question is about what direction you're headed. And it could be somebody way out here, and our desire is just to help them find their way back, to begin to move in the right direction. These are the ones I'm talking about. I've lost touch because I've been so close around here, working around here, that I've lost touch with the people that are farthest out. And it's not that I don't know some people. Of course, we all know people that don't know Christ. It's that I'm not building any intentional, deep friendships with them. I'm asking God to give me somebody to bless my life. That'll walk with me as I walk with them and just go and love one another. We also care about this. We care about direction. Not that you're in or out, but if somebody is heading the wrong direction because they just stopped reflecting, they stopped thinking, whatever it might be, we just want to come alongside of that too and say, let us help you, no matter how long you've known Christ, help you find your way deeper and deeper back into a deeper relationship with Christ. This is what matters to us. It's who we are. I have a few statements I just want to roll out as a way of painting a picture of who we are, because I believe every community needs a vibrant church that encapsulates these things we're about to speak about, and that right there, that helps people find their way back to God. Every community is better for it, and this is part of the dream. One of the things we have said around here is we will go wherever and innovate whatever to reach whoever we can. That's who we are. I just did a wedding for the Shreebies, and at the wedding, it was like a family reunion. or not a family reunion, but a high school reunion of the 1982 class of Jenison where I graduated. And I stepped up to do the wedding and I looked out and I went, man, I know all these people that are sitting out here. I graduated with them. And afterwards, I had a conversation with Rob and he stepped up and the two of us were conversing. He told me about his faith journey and I was telling him about mine as we talked about the journey we have taken since. And as we talked, I could catch his passion for Christ, and I was sharing mine. And at one point, I just said, man, you know, we're the kind of church, we'll do whatever, whatever. And if I thought that the message that God loves people could get forth into somebody's heart in a better way, if I stood on the platform on my head and preached the gospel, I'd try to do it. And he laughed, and he looked at me and goes, you lost a little hair. It looks like you've been doing it already. I'm like, funny guy. Really funny guy here. But we will. Whatever it takes. And we'll innovate whatever we can in order to reach whoever we can. That's who we are. We believe in the capital C church. We believe deeply and care deeply about the capital C church. We care about this right here. We are called to love one another and about our mission. But this mission is way bigger than us. And we believe that we are to actually invest in the church beyond us. Yet we have a dream of planting 5 more Harbor churches. And we have 5 campuses already. And over the next 3-5 years, we're looking for 5 more campuses that we will be 10 campuses helping people find their way back to God. And we believe every community is going to be better for having a culture-shaping church in it. And we want to be that. But listen to this. When we talk about the capital C church, that's 5. When we talk about the capital C church, we want to plant 10 churches beyond our walls that aren't Harbor churches to stand with. We're already doing it. And I can label a handful of churches right now. We are doing it, helping to invest time, energy, thoughts, and finances in order to help get them off the ground so that those churches can be vibrant churches in their communities. Twice as many than we would do for ourselves, we want to do for others. And then when we think about global plants, we have on our radar 100 global plants over the next 3 to 5 years. And that sounds like a staggering number, but it's actually going to be the easiest one to hit because God is moving powerfully on the other side of the world right now. And in Uganda alone, a mission that got birthed out of here, where we have children that we're sponsoring, some 200 kids that we're sponsoring, and we have missionaries that are there, that are indigenous pastors that we're helping to support and encourage. And we've sent teams to go in and help to raise up pastors that can be vibrant leaders in their communities. We're already seeing that they're going to blow past this 100 number themselves over the next 3 to 5 years. Let alone what we're doing in other parts of the world. Yeah, we care about the capital C church. And we also care, and deeply care, about empowering our students to lead. We have been and are going to continue to be the kind of church that takes seriously our children's ministry and our student ministries. And we take our lead off Jesus on this one. When he started his ministry, he was pulling children unto himself. When others were saying, keep them away, he's like, what are you talking about? The kingdom of heaven belongs to them. And who did he recruit to change the world? John, maybe 9-10 years old, one of his disciples. Peter, somewhere around 20, early 20s. Everything else in between. We are talking about teenagers that Jesus hand-selected to lead a movement that would change the world. And we will take our cues off him. What Brian and Chelsea were talking about up here. We're not just sending our graduates and saying, good luck. You know, way to go, guys. That's not it. We didn't applaud that. We are grateful that we have been able to stand with them and invest in them. That we collectively together, we believe that God has everything in them. That they're just the right people at just the right time with just the right amount of the Holy Spirit to go out with the mission to help people find their way back to God. We believe. We believe in you, students. We'll be here to support you and encourage you in any way that we can. A text, a message, an email, however you want to connect with us, we will be, as Brian said, that tree that holds on to you and supports you and does whatever we can, because we are thrilled that you are the right kind of missionaries for this world. We are the people that will give up stuff that matters to us to grab hold of stuff that matters even more than us. This is who we are. What does that mean? It means that stuff that really matters to us, we're willing to let it go. If there's something that matters more to us, we planted a church called South Harbor. That is now one of our harbor churches. Some of you were there. I wasn't there. I wasn't here at that time, but you know the families that left this church. Those families mattered to us. You know the pastor that left this church. He mattered to us. Eventually became our senior pastor, the planting pastor, Tom Ellenboss. And we sent one of our best pastors. We sent some of our best people. They mattered to us, but what mattered more to us was reaching people, putting a vibrant church over in Byron Center. And one church after another that has happened with that. We are the sort of people that want to do that sort of stuff. We want to invest well in people. We'll give up our time. I think about sending out a message recently. I just taped it and sent it out to all of our children's ministers. And to say to those children's ministers, some are right here today, that you have been investing in those children. Yeah, that takes a lot of energy out of you. A lot of energy to come to the 9 o'clock service and go invest in children after that, or to come to this service where you've already invested in the lives of those kids. Your time matters to you. And your energy matters to you. But there's something in you that says, I will give that up because something else matters more to me. Those kids and the joy of seeing them find a place where they understand how much God loves them. I want to be a part of that. And I'm signing up to make a difference in their lives. We are so grateful for every single one of you. I think about these two together. About just the two that I just mentioned, that we want to empower students to lead and we want to invest in children. We have a story that comes out of those two for us. There's a little girl, a little blonde-haired girl, that at 5 years old, a lot of years ago, she sang for the first time with a microphone. She grabbed it and began to sing and led out in the children's sections. She was put on the Blaze team eventually. And some of you are like, what's the Blaze team? It's a worship team that we have. They're leading worship outside of these walls. Young children that were giving the platform. You go lead. Lead people. And she led on the Blaze team. That gave her confidence to eventually step up on her platform. 13 years old with a microphone. And she began to sing. And then she went from that to a place where we went. She has gifts for ministry. We hired her as a leadership resident. And just over the last couple of weeks, she graduated from Grand Valley, and we hired her on as one of the full-time Harbor Church's worship leaders. She'll be most of the time here. Her name's Mackenzie Seagard, and she's come to lead our worship now, and she's one of our staff members. A story of we will empower to lead, and we will give up time. Some of you gave up time to invest in her because your time matters, but investing in the next generation to lead, it matters even more. We will be the kind of people that will treat everybody as a minister of the gospel. And what does that mean? It means nobody has to sit on the sidelines in this church. Nobody. None of you have to. Because we believe, yeah, some of us might hold a title, quote unquote, minister, but actually all of us have that title. That we might have an occupation that differs from some of you that are here, but your vocation and our vocation, very same thing. That we have been empowered by God to minister the good news, to bring good news to people, to be good news to the community in which we live. And collectively, we do that together. And finally, we are a harbor of hope. It's who we are. We're a church that got its name out of the Bible. In Acts chapter 27, we read about this place called the Fair Havens around a region called Crete. And into this harbor called Fair Havens, a boat pulled in to gain supplies, to get rebuilt, to get restored so it could hit the open seas. And on that boat was a man that was being held captive at that point, whose name is Paul, the writer of more books of the Bible than any other person. And Paul spoke to that group, talking about the dangers of pulling out of the harbor too soon. Well, we want to be the kind of harbor that when people pull in here, no matter what their story is, when they come to us, because it doesn't have to be a location. If it's actually a church, it means wherever we're located during the week, that's where we are with our mission. When people pull into us, if you will, when they come to us with brokenness or pain or hurt, and they need somewhere to mend and to get ready to get back on the open seas again, we want to be the people that stand with them. We want to be the kind of people that they would be, that we'd be the first people that they would come to. And you are that. We are that. So many people come to this location, but I hear story after story after story. If we had plans on Friday night, but then I got a phone call and we set our plans aside so that we could breathe life into that young couple. Or Saturday morning, our family was going to get together for breakfast, but there was something in us that said, no, let's invite them over for breakfast. They need something stable, and we'll be that family, and then we'll take care of the kids so they can leave and go out and do their thing. Every once in a while, I'll get somebody that comes up to me and says, hey, this needs to be done for this family, and I'm in. I just don't want my name to be known. I don't want to be known for that. So can we keep this anonymous? Because they need some life breathed into them, and I want to be the person that God uses because I think He's asking me to do it. We are that sort of people. That is who we are. I had an opportunity recently to sit down with a younger woman who was just kind of sharing her story with me. And again, this is who we are, to give you a picture of this. And it's all about direction for us. There's not many churches that would invite somebody into leadership when the person doesn't know Jesus yet, but we did that. One of our members came alongside of somebody that was not even going to church and said, how would you like to come with me to help lead something? Just come with. And the answer was, okay, I'll check that out. And while sitting in group and listening to the stories that are being told, eventually she went, this stuff is starting to make sense. Who is this Jesus? Does He love me? Does He care for me? Yes, He does. He's all about you. And she came to Christ and she talked to me about wanting to get baptized, to go into the waters of baptism this coming summer, because her life has been changed. Somebody helped her find her way back to God, and now she's in the place, this movement of saying, I'll be a part of this kind of community of faith that's making that kind of difference in the world. I would ask that you would dream with me what it might look like. What might it look like if each one of us, because we, it matters, but you're part of it, and so you matter too. If each one of us were to just take our next step, no matter how small it is, it's not the size of the step, just our next step in actually becoming this church, in really living out this mission about why we exist and what makes us us. And it might be that that next step might be the most important step you take in your entire life. Say, I'm going to join Pastor Greg, man. I'm going to pray that God will give me some friend that's far away, and I'm going to keep my eyes open, and I'm going to pour into. Or it might be for you that, there's some things that matter to me, but I'm going to give up the things that matter to me and grab hold of the things that matter even more to me. Or I'm going to be the person, I've been doing children's ministry for a long time, but I'm not stepping down. No way. I will not step down. My time matters to me, but those kids, they matter even more. I got one life to swing at this. I'm going to swing with everything I have. Or it may be an act of generosity that you take the next step and say, I haven't I haven't yet got to the place where I've given anything to invest financially in this, and I'm going to do it. I'm going to take that next small step. I'm just going to step into it because I want to be a part of something bigger. Maybe it's going to be that the next church plant that rolls out of here, and you're already prepping your heart for it, saying, God, I'm going to begin to talk to you about it because I might be the next one that goes. You matter to us, but something matters more to us. Whatever it is, even if you have to tiptoe into it, take that small step into it. I'm just going to ask, what might it be like for you? What difference might it make in your life? What difference might it make here in us? What difference might it make out there? Because that's where we're sent, to go love. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. I thank you for this family. I thank you for the gift of friends on mission with one another. That this is us. This dream, it's yours. We're yours. And so now you, who birthed us, who empowered us, who gave us your Spirit, we pray that you would move through us for your glory. In your name we pray. Amen.